Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight, I thought we'd talk about... the third ray again. And in case you are wondering what the show is about, it's about metaphysics and spirituality and science and a whole bunch of other things. And generally speaking, tonight's show is going to be dealing with virtually all those issues, because I want to cover the third ray in ways that haven't been done before, and especially altogether, because I think that a lot of people don't quite understand what a ray is. They don't understand what this third ray business is and why is it causing this business of all the problems that we're having right now. And why did I predict this 20 years ago? Write an article about it, a number of them actually. And sure enough, it's all happening. And how did I know? Well, not because I'm any great soothsayer, but because I understand the third ray, which I hope all of you are going to understand better after tonight's show. So tonight is the metaphysics of the third ray, but it's also the physics and the sciences of how it affects a lot of different things. And then, in addition, it even gets into questions about evolution and why evolution is not purely as evolutionists might think, and how come the third ray has such a dominant effect, apparently, on us right now, which is a big deal. And how does that fit in with prophecies, like the Mayan calendar issues and so many other cultures that claim that next year, the end of next year, may be a very bad time for humanity with a lot of changes. And or it may be a good time for humanity. Of course, that would depend upon how the issues with what we're going to be talking about this evening are played out. Right now, they're not doing too good. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how come the third ray is pretty much having a, we'll say, bad time. And to begin with, let's define what a ray is so that we know what I'm talking about anyway. I mean, certainly I know, but you may not know. Now, when we're dealing with a ray, we're talking about the effect of the mind of something. In this case, it's God, or many people will say some subcategory of God, like a Lord of Rays. Or there's a lot of names for these things. Its effect on energy. And so it's kind of a strange thing. A lot of people think that energy and thought don't have anything to do with each other. But if you're into the area of physics called quantum physics, long time ago, almost now, like 90 years ago, physicists started to experiment and discovered that in some very slight ways, with very small amounts of energy, energy can follow the thought of those experimenting with it, and maybe just generally people in general. And the assumption was that energy could follow thought of anything, because the perception and knowledge of what something in form is doing, it could be any kind of form, down to an electron or some subatomic particle, is going to have an effect on the outcome, the probabilistic outcome of that particular particle. That's the beginning of energy following thought. That idea. Now, you might say, well, how come I can't think that I have $1 million and it just doesn't materialize? You know. Well, it takes a lot of thought to do that. And as a matter of fact, the interesting thing about this that physicists found out long time ago, and that now is, I think, accepted by a lot of physicists, is that it isn't just that energy follows thought. It has to do with the energy following thought that in some way has a similarity to the frequency of the energy and certain other factors. And so this now starts to become a qualitative issue rather than just a quantitative issue. So you can think as strong as you want. If your thought isn't in the correct frequency and phase, a direction, phase is just the direction of the frequency, then it may have zero effect on what you're trying to affect in form of energy. And that's another thing I want to mention, for those of you who aren't familiar with physics, is that when we're talking about energy, energy comes in a lot of different kinds of ways. It can be waves, it can be particles, it can be some means of heat or lack of heat, and amazingly, energy can be all the things we call matter. So whatever you think is an object around you is actually composed of a very dense type of energy. And we usually refer to that as a form. Okay, so it's a form. So that's a fascinating thing, is to think that we can affect forms around us by our thought. And this is a major part of both physics, and strangely, or maybe not so, it's also common in metaphysics. So in reality, the two overlap very strongly. Metaphysics is a physics that goes beyond physics and cannot presently be proven through experimental design. So when we talk about metaphysics, we're talking about a kind of physics, a physics, but not one that explains the reality necessarily that we think we understand. It's usually about the reality we usually have a lot of vagueness about and don't understand too well. Strangely, that may be the majority of our existence, though. So metaphysics may be much more important than physics when you get down to the real world. Okay, so dealing with this issue, then, and we're talking about the metaphysics of something that is a ray, which is a kind of thought that is affecting energy, then where is that thought coming from? Because it has to have a quality which is, we'll say, similar to the third ray in its frequency and phase or direction. And it has to be coming from something much greater than a human being, because we can barely affect electrons. We have some effect on it, but we can barely affect the smallest of small, subatomic particles. We have very little effect on these things. Well, some, but just small. And so in order to affect like a whole planet, because that's what I'm talking about, the whole Earth is being affected from something we call the third ray, where the heck is that ray coming from? It's got to be coming from something a lot more intense in thought than human beings. Even a collection of all, not quite 7 billion human beings on the planet, and maybe all the rest of the animals and plants and anything else that could have any kind of thought, put together. Yeah, plants think too, but that's another story. Their souls do for it. So at any rate, the it's got to be something huge beyond what we can imagine, because we're dealing with so much form, so much mass. Think about the Earth. How massive is it and all the things that are on it? Wow. Okay, so how is it having an effect and where is it coming from? And the answer is beings that are just in consciousness near gods. They aren't quite what we would consider God, and they wouldn't think of themselves as the God of our universe. They think of themselves as a subcategory of beings who are particularly concerned about making energies respond in ways that are more conducive to God's plan. They're working with God. That's the best way to describe it. And the ones that affect our planet are subcategories of the bigger ones, which are called cosmic. I mean, the whole universe. There's beings that affect just all seven. There's seven kinds of energy. All seven kinds of energy. Each one is in charge of one of all seven kinds of energy for the entire universe. Well, a small little bitty planet like Earth, in a relatively, slightly larger than average size galaxy like the Milky Way, is not all that great of importance. And so there is a galactic cosmic ray lord, and there's even one for the constellations that constellation of stars that we have, the neighborhood. But eventually it gets down to there are categories of ray lords that are actually in charge of planet Earth. Now, these beings are still super beings, and they're not anywhere near the thought capability of a cosmic being. together. But they have, compared to all of humanity, they have incredible levels of thought, and their thought is about the plan of God. And they're trying to make it so Earth is going to become more enlightened, more virtuous. Eventually, a thing called sacred. What is sacredness? So sacredness means that more often than not, we're creating light on Earth. Right now, more than almost all the time, we're creating darkness. But if we could get to that sacred point, it would be really great. And I'm sure a lot of people would like to live on a planet like that. But we all chose to be here. That's another story. But we all chose to be here. Okay, so here's the deal. And it's kind of an interesting one. There's only so many of the types of energy that a specific Ray Lord focuses on at a time. So there's seven types of energy. There are seven, not cosmic, but planetary Ray Lords. These are the sub guys or gals. They basically only choose, they choose, that four out of seven of them at the present time are focusing their thought on energy on Earth to make it supposedly, okay, you got it, more enlightened, to help it move along and to advance in its enlightenment. There is a little bit of a problem here because, you see, they cannot control lower beings. The lower beings have to control themselves and, in a strange way, control the outcome of some of the higher beings. See, because that's part of God's plan. They're working in God's plan. These aren't evil dudes. These are good dudes. And they're working to make planet Earth enlightened, but you can't make a place enlightened if you're dictating and controlling the thought and the energy of others to the exclusion of the others. So that's the rub. Yeah, they do. They have been enlightening, more than not, third-rate energy on our planet for about 675 years, give or take a few years. And they've been doing it pretty consistent. I mean, this is their job. You know, they consistently do it. There is an ebb and flow. There's a cycle to it a little bit. But basically, you could say it's been consistent. And they do this with other Ray Lords who are doing three other rays at the same time. So you have a total of four out of seven in the present environment. That causes things to evolve more rapidly on planet Earth because the energies that make the senses and the bodies eventually of all life forms in the physical world, but this also affects the astral, the manasic, or mental world too, develop more easily, develop faster. And if you develop someone's senses faster, or even a flea or whatever, if you make its senses develop more, then it advances more. It actually evolves faster. So they speed up evolution. Ah, remember I told you it's going to get into evolution now. Yeah, yeah. They speed up evolution by doing that. And they switch every so often one of these rays at a time with one that they haven't been focusing on for 100 years, 300, 500, even 1,000 more years. They pick different ones based upon a plan to help evolve different kinds of creatures, because not all creatures have all seven of the senses that humans have. And they also try to balance out life so that you don't have one kind of life form kind of like taking over the whole world. All of the dinosaurs, remember that. They really did, 170, 180 million years dinosaurs run around. That's a long time. We've been around a fraction of that. But the point is that they don't want, in this period of Earth's development, to have any life form even coming close to dominating at that level. However, humans are pretty dominating, no matter which way you look at it. And let's get to that issue then. So they have this plan, which is to stimulate energies, and the energies affect our senses. The senses come from a thing called, in our etheric body, and also our astral and our mental bodies, chakras. Now you've all heard about those, yeah. But you may not know that the chakras are there to create sense. That's what they're the main sensing part of us. They do some other things, too, and they basically are composed of one of the corresponding numbered energies from 1 to 7. Oh, you see how it kind of all fits together. It's almost like Tinker Toys or something. You know, we kind of can stick this all together, and you can make a human being just by how I'm describing all this. And yes, that's exactly how the whole concept works. Now, they cannot, they being these sub-sub-subcategory raylords, what we call planetary raylords, they cannot interfere directly with humans. Because if they did, let's say they say, okay, you're going to feel this, you're going to think this, therefore you're going to be our little puppet. Well, we would end up being puppets. And life needs to be self-created the way God created itself. And you can't have something creating itself that's being pushed around and controlled by planetary raylords or anything else for that matter. They're all subcategories of God, and therefore God would be its own reflection, and it'd be a puppet show. It'd be silly. And luckily, God is not silly. God is amazingly brilliant in this plan to allow human beings to have free choice. So those of you that are the staunch determinists, you might have problems with this theory. But it's okay. You know, you can stick with that, although you'll see that it probably isn't going to work out too well if you were to consistently believe in that, because ultimately you may reach a point where everything becomes futile because someone else is deciding it for you. Okay, so back to what I was talking about, the race. So the way they get around this is, yes, they focus on the rays in general, and the energies develop, but the way they develop, they develop in growth, but the way they develop in terms of enlightenment or not enlightenment is up to the human, if we're talking about human beings. Now, if you're talking about animals, it's up to the group soul of the animal and how well those group souls are functioning. But that's a different thing. Same for plants, even minerals. For humans, it's up to us. In all of the kingdoms below the human, since about 1975, which wasn't that long ago, are being more affected by us than by their own group souls. Or at least as much, if you average it together. The minerals are being more affected by us. The plants about close to an equal amount. Animals still are still less than us to be affected. But still, that's amazing. We're having a huge effect on the planet in general because we are becoming little gods of the planet, you know, sometimes not doing too well. And we're not going to make the lower kingdoms any more enlightened than we create light in ourselves. So the planet's been going pretty much to hell. And this is not a good thing. But that's the system. The system is you got to let these lower cuckoos, us, control things, because otherwise we're not free and we can't be self-created then. And the whole system isn't the way God wants it to be. All right. Hope you're understanding this. Hope you're getting it. So, now you can go further with this whole idea. You might say, well, okay, you gave us a general idea, we kind of got it, okay, these planetary things. Well, how did the planetary raylords doing this? Well, that's where it gets kind of dicey, because there are several ways they do it, and one of them is going to surprise you, and maybe some people get upset about it. But let's start with that. I like to start with the controversial. And one way is through a thing we call astrology. But it isn't really the astrology that most people, when they look at the newspaper, or they go to astrologers, or they look at astrology books, believe it. Because they think it's coming from some kind of planet thing. And the planets are associated with these planetary raylords. As a matter of fact, some of them actually are part of the planetary process that those planets stand for. So there is a connection, but not with the physical planet. It's from a being that is just some way associated, and so we have these odd ideas about it. Now you could say, well, does that mean when they do a chart of where a planet is, it doesn't mean anything because it's really about the thought of the big. It does mean something, because if it didn't, there wouldn't be any truth to astrology, and there is some. But the issue here is that the way it works is the following, and this is kind of hard to understand. The relationship of the Ray Lords to planet Earth are chosen and have a cyclic effect based upon the movement of the planets, not only in relationship to Earth, but in relationship to each other and to other stars. We call, constellations out there. So there's a very complicated thing going on, because some of those stars, including our own, have even higher Ray Lords that are having an influence on them. It's complicated, I know. That's why I always dread going into an explanation of this, because most people get confused. But that's how it works. And so astrology, but in a modified way, has a pretty important impact in the system of how rays are affecting us. But let me add the exclusion issues and some of the exceptions and some of the things that also involve. Besides astrology, Ray Lords have effects on the planet, and this is the reason things go ebb and flow sometimes, that can be more directly affecting the planet. In those cases, they direct it away from usually human beings, because we would become too influenced by it. And they affect usually the planet internally, like earthquakes, and sometimes in its atmosphere, so we end up with changes in weather that's out, and sometimes in conjunction with the sun. So there's strange things that can happen on Earth that have wide, huge effects on human beings. But they're not directed directly at humans, because if they did, it would be too strong of an effect on us, and we would lose our free will. So the closest they come to really affecting us is astrology. And these other things that are in the mix are secondary. And we still choose how those things actually affect us, even though they might have enormous effects on us. We still choose how our reaction is going to be to them, be they natural benefits or natural disasters. We choose how we react. Okay, so that being the case, and now we have some understanding how these rays are running around doing this stuff, what about the third ray? The third ray is the most growth ray on planet Earth. When it's in focus, everything that is of third ray energy is affected more than any other energy from any other ray. It's numero uno when it comes to being affected. And you can say, oh, why the third? Why not the first? Why not the fifth? Why not the seventh? Because Earth, the planet we're on, its body, the Earth itself, the physical Earth, is controlled and is more controlled by the third ray, because it's mostly made of third ray energies. Whoa, you didn't know that. Yeah, it's very strange that it's mostly controlled with third ray energies. Now, you could say, well, how is that possible and why? Well, it goes by the elements. Oxygen is a third ray element. There's a lot of oxygen on Earth. And as a matter of fact, the entire life cycle that we are familiar with, although not all things respond to it, is done through energy created through oxygen. Now, some things don't use that life cycle, that kind of thing. But the majority do of life, and especially human life does. And it's not just the question of life. It has to do with inanimate things, as we might call them, such as other kinds of minerals, etc. The composite of the minerals of Earth respond collectively more to the third ray than any other. they tend to balance and cancel each other out to some extent. But when you go through all of the factors, it's the third ray that controls them the most, especially the radioactive elements, that is true, because they're the most active of the elements, and the third ray is the most active ray, which we're going to get into in a few minutes. And so radioactivity doesn't sound like it's a big deal. Oh, well, that's the stuff they put in nuclear weapons, and we're not blowing up that many these days. Yeah, it's also the thing that is keeping the Earth alive, because the energy of the Earth comes from inside of it, from radioactive elements. And those, so, you know, uranium is a major one, and others. And those radioactive elements are most responsive to the third ray. When the third ray is on the planet, they become more active. They develop more heat, which produces more of a thing. Some of you are familiar with this. It causes tectonic plate movement, because the surface of the Earth is in movement. The continents are floating on top of the mantle. And so when the mantle heats up from the inside of the Earth, these radioactive elements are in the outer and mostly the inner core of the Earth, they are producing tremendous amounts of heat. And as they heat up more because the third ray is more active, we get a lot more activity in the mantle, and there's more earthquakes, and there's more movement, and all kinds of things. Now, it's very important that this movement continue, because without the movement, because Earth is so close to the sun, and it needs to be to develop human beings in physical form, in order to stay that close to the sun, it has to have the inside of it moving quickly, or it doesn't have enough magnetic field to keep the solar winds from wiping us out. Bad news. So we need to have that, because we're trying to develop humanity in physical form on Earth. That puts us very close to our sun compared to the bigger planets that are more gaseous and are way off into the distance. They also have strange things going on in them. So don't kid yourselves. They got lots of stuff going on. But Earth is a unique for human development planet. Okay, so the third ray is doing a number, and it has been for 675 years. It's actually been increasing a number of issues. Earthquakes, it's been increasing atmospheric disturbances, so we're going to end up with a lot more hurricanes and other things. And as we heat it up, it will do even more of that. Now, the third ray, that's 675 years worth, so that takes care of that time. But now, as of next year, the third ray is going to peak. It's been slowing up. These rayloids don't just zap you and then leap. They gradually come on with their focus of thought to cause the ray to develop more, and they gradually withdraw it. And they try to do it very consistently without too much jerking around, because it has such a profound effect on things. We're reaching the peak in the fall of next year. All right. Of the third ray's development. Then they're going to start withdrawing it. But in the last 11 and a half years, what's been happening is the cosmic ray lord has been slowing down its focus of thought on the third ray. And that's a good thing to some extent. It reduces some of the movement in the planet, because we are about at the peak of where it was going anyway, and we've been having a lot more activity than we might have had, say, 100 or 200 years ago. And so the slowdown is necessary. And then the kind of strange thing is that after the fall of 2012, it's going to start withdrawing its focus, and commensurately, the ray lord along the fourth ray is going to be actually overtaking the amount of focus that the third ray's been using on third ray energy. Now, the planet is far more responsive to the third ray, as I tried to explain, than it is to the fourth. So although their thoughts are equal, the effects on the planet are not. So the fourth ray is going to come in slowly, in relationship to the third ray going out quickly. Now, what does it mean when the third ray is there? Its thought is going out. Well, a lot of things are going to change, and that's what tonight's show is about. There's so many things that are going to happen because the third ray is it affects everything that you can imagine. It's so big. It's the biggest ray. And because humans affect the lower kingdoms at this point, and it affects human civilization, which is a third ray factor, then what happens is all of our civilization is going to be somewhat upset by the declining thought of the third ray lord. To eventually, after another 12 and a half years or so, we'll call it the spring of 25, the third ray lord's thought is going to cease focused on our planet. And that could be for hundreds and hundreds of years. That could go on. So civilization's going to really slow up. Our throat chakra is going to slow up. Our ability to communicate is going to slow up. And a lot of other things in terms of its development. We don't have to lose anything, but there is a catch. Let's go back to that concept that we're free to do what we need to do or what we want to do, because in order to have life self-created, it's got to be free. Well, since we have all this freedom, you see, a lot of us have chosen to use the growth of the third ray for selfish purposes. We use our senses to gain things for ourselves rather than to give for the improvement of others. That creates a real problem because our senses become darker and darker as we do that, and especially with the third ray, it's just a huge mess. And that's the problems we've been seeing for at least the last 4 or 5 years. And it's going to get worse. Unless we even change our ways. Now, there's always the other side of the fence. We can, on our own, choose to be more virtuous. To think about others rather than just ourselves or those that we think are important to us. That could reverse a lot of these potential debilitating effects that are coming, and some of the ones that have already occurred. So there is some options, but they become more remote as some people become so dark that they aren't going to change no matter what. I call that crystallization. It's like their throat chakra literally is in a structure or crystallized state in which the energy is not moving. It's going to stay that way unless it is tremendously impacted with some kind of disastrous situation. Not a good thing. And there's a lot of people in that category in the world right now. And consequently, we have a lot of darkness. It's grown considerably since 2007. I wrote an article called Two Scenarios for a Future World. And I predicted almost everything that's happened, that's gone on in the last 4.5 years. No kidding. Yeah. In this article, I said it was all going to start really bad in 2007. I predicted the economic crisis. I predicted the changes in even development. Large-scale development is along the third ray. Whereas small creative development is on the first ray, but large, very large development, like big housing tracts or tall, very big, huge buildings and shopping centers, those things are along the third ray. They're also affected by the creativity of the first ray, but they're still third ray because they're so big. And so the housing crisis that we have came from the selfishness of people who function within that system. Mostly people are financing it, but in some cases they're also developing. And the process became so dark that it destroyed itself, it collapsed in itself, created a worldwide dilemma. Of course, it was partly controlled by worldwide interests. It wasn't just the United States, although we were certainly leading the band on that one. And it was created also by our government, who was selfish. So the whole thing was an example of how the third rate really goes bananas when people are very selfish. You get a lot of problems, and that's just one of them. Unfortunately, there are many others. So, and we're going to talk about those after the break. Right now, I'm just giving you the basics, trying to talk about the concepts so that we understand why these things are going on, because otherwise I can talk about all the things that are going to happen, and it sounds like I'm just a crazy guy ranting here. Or maybe just, you know, making this stuff up. Although, again, I could prove that 20 years ago I knew all this stuff was going to happen, so something must be going on right here with me. Either that or I'm the best guesser on the planet. Either way, I'll take something for that. All right, so what else do we need to know about how the third ray functions in comparison, say, to the other rays? Well, it's big. We got that because the whole planet's vibrating to it, you know, in one way or another. We're all residents of Earth, and if you're here living on Earth, the third ray is right in your face, okay? Whether it's being focused on or not, it's having a major effect on us. Okay, one way or the other. What about the throat chakra issue? How does that get fit in everything? Well, the throat chakra is communication, and it involves as a primary interest of communication. And another thing we need to understand about rays and energy is that the ultimate goal of these, we'll call them junior ray lords that are planetary ray lords, is the same as the cosmic ray lords, and that is to convert energies that are chaotic and gravitational and that are not responsive to virtue or light into energies that are, and to eventually get them to become enlightened to produce only intelligent actions between any two or more things. And that's what the deal's about, to create this level of active intelligence. It's what our whole universe is about. See, yes, there's spirit, which is the thought of God, and it's in all life, and it's everywhere around us. But God also made intelligent activity, which when it is less than intelligent, which is almost always the case wherever life is, other than God, you've got some degree of energy present. Energy manifests from its original state of perfection, which is intelligent activity. It means perfect intelligence. I'm not talking about activity that is, it's better than some, but not as good as others. Now, this is perfect. Perfect activity. There's no sign of any free energy. There's no waste of energy. There's no sense of energy. There's no heat. There's no friction. And even the effects of gravity are gone once intelligent activity is realized. That's a pretty amazing place to be, and we're not going to get there right away, but once you become a sacred planet, that's part of a sacred planet. It isn't all the time, but it's like the majority of the time, so it's a big deal. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is I think we'll cool our heels here for about 2.5 minutes, and you guys out there can think about some of the stuff I've said. I know I covered a lot, but, you know, I'm figuring that some of you have heard some of this before. Others of you have read some of the things that I've written and others about this area. And so you have a bit of an understanding about it, I'm hoping. If you don't, if you're just listening for the first time, bear with us. The rest of the show will be less conceptual and more on a practical side. So there's still a lot to come that people who really hearing this for the first time can get a lot more out of it. Okay, so we're going to be back in 2.5 minutes or so from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we're going to be talking, or we are talking about, the metaphysics of the third ray, kind of going over some things that we have covered before with a lot of new ideas and a lot of new concepts put in besides. So, and I say before, some of you may know that I've been on the radio a long time, so I'm including not only this show on this station, but also on several other stations that I've been on, too. So that's what I'm thinking about when I say different shows. You can listen to those shows if you want, you know, over at agelesswisdom.com, all the different ones that I've been on. Okay, so now let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts about this third-rate business, which I so quickly covered in concepts during the first part. Now let's talk about some of the more tangible factors that people want to know, well, what should I do about this, what should I do about that? Well, the first thing to understand is everybody's being affected by this. And some people are being affected in a good way because, I mean, now that the third ray has reached its almost zenith, we'll call it, in terms of development, it has never been this much developed during human development. It has been more developed than this in the past, but you have to go back to the dinosaurs. And I wouldn't want to do that. Well, I might if I was an observer, but not if I was lunch. Okay, so the point is that this has been a long time. It's been a long time since this concentration of the third ray has been on the planet, and certainly since human beings. To this level. Now, it's been on the planet focused on Earth for 10 times this length of time during human development in much, much earlier years, but never to this level of focus of intensity by the planetary Ray Lord. And that makes up for all the time issues. See, the Ray Lord is not just dealing with time. When we talk about a year now in comparison to a year or a million years ago, the Ray Lord may have been only focusing its thought at 1% level a million years ago. And today it might be at 30% or 40% level. So there's a lot more happening in a lot shorter time. And that has to do with a kind of interesting element about, and this plays into evolution too, about the development of the throat chakra and all the chakras in the human being. You can't rush the development of the chakras in the beginning of development of a life form. Because if you do, what happens is it mutates too quickly. It becomes something that wasn't intended, and it may ultimately kill the life form. What you want to do is start slow and build up, and that's exactly what's happened. And the proof comes from the life form or life forms and not from some preconceived plan. So only so much focus can be devoted to Earth at a time of any of the rays based upon the response of the life on Earth. There's a feedback here, and it's important to realize that this is an intelligent system, not a mechanical one. And that's why evolution is based upon intelligence and not mechanics. A very important thought to think about. Okay. So how does this work? Well, let's say human beings had not invented the internet and cell phones and major means and ways of communicating with each other in the last 20 or 30 years. Then what would have happened is the third Ray Lord, although the date and time that it would have diminished, started to diminish its thought, would be the same. The amount of thought for the last 20 or 30 years would have been much less than it has been. Now you can say, whoa, that sounds like it's dangerous, though, because like I did say, isn't it true that if we're going in the wrong direction, yeah, we're developing our throat chakra, we're becoming more and more selfish. Now, how does that play into things? Well, here's the goofy part about it. I know you're going to dislike this. The Ray Lord does adjust to the growth of the chakra in human beings, but not based upon whether we're good or bad. That's entirely up to us. It only does so based upon how much we're able to use the increased ability. Okay, let me say it again in another way, so, because this is really important, because a lot of people don't know this. This is like, oh, Revelation, he's telling us new stuff. Okay, you ready? Here it comes. Let's say that I wanted to change my dog. And I could, anything I thought had an effect on the dog's sense of smell, right? Which is not the third ray, but we'll use that. And when I think about my dog's smell, his name's Little Guy, by the way, it improves. He gets a better sense of smell. And when I don't think as much, it improves less slowly. And if I stop thinking about it, it slows down way down. It will continue to develop, but now at a very, very slow pace. So I got it focused on him, and he's using it more and more, so I keep focusing more and more on it. Now, let's say he's a real super dog and more like a human being than a dog, so he's controlled by himself rather than his group soul and instincts. And sometimes he uses his smell to steal food, or to maybe tell when nobody's around so he can go do something like pee on the furniture. Uh-oh, that isn't good. But that's how he's using his sense of smell. And it doesn't matter. I want him to have free choice. And if I'm going to allow him to have free choice, I can't modulate my thought on his developing sense of smell just because he's using it the wrong way. Why be interfering with that? You see the problem. Now, let's say that he's using a sense of smell because he's doing wonderful acts and he's helping people to, you know, to live better, and he's really being helpful. He knows when someone's trying to break in and do something bad, or he also knows when other dogs are out there doing their thing in his lawn, and he doesn't like that, and it's not good for them either to do that. But so, I mean, he's using it in a good way, using his sense of smell in a good way. Well, same thing. He gets the same focus because the sense of smell is developing more. As long as he uses it, even if it's the wrong way, he gets the same amount of development. Yeah. Now you can see the problem. And this is an interesting dilemma. And again, this is not something that I can recall having taught about before, although I've known it for a long time. I think I've made reference to it a couple times or more than that, but not explained it. Now I'm explaining. Okay, so that's the issue. And it's the reason that evil can exist. It's the reason that evil can even develop itself by stealing energy from others and using the third ray as well, which it uses the best, to grow itself. Yeah, evil does it. And there's nothing that can be done about it because it's got to be free. Evil is still part of humanity. Granted, it's a pretty low part of humanity, but it's still part. And so it's free to do that. And so this whole system, to have the freedom built into it, has to, unfortunately, allow bad things to develop in people based upon their own choices. Yep, that's a real issue. And it gets worse. Because we're affecting the lower kingdom so much, we're not only doing this for ourselves anymore, we're affecting these group souls and the life forms they're doing. And so we're having a major effect on the whole planet now, all the life on it. And it's messing things up badly. But there's not much that can be done to change this because we've got to be left to be free. And so the prescribed system has a stopgap, and that is that if you didn't have an end, and I mean an absolute end that is decided upon thousands of years ahead of time to stop the focus of a planetary ray lord on a planet, if people like they are on Earth got very selfish, they just destroy themselves on the planet eventually, right? It's inevitable. But to stop that, they know, the ray lords know, and other beings, know that you can't allow this just to go on indefinitely. Because, for heaven's sake, this seems like a bad problem. So they cut it off. They cut it off at an estimated time when we might still be able to pull ourselves out of the rut we put ourselves into and to get the crystallized evil centers in people, in some people, and darker centers in others, to get more enlightened over time. But with great struggle and oftentimes tremendous karmic implications, which are terrible, unfortunately. But that's the way it is. Our own suffering is caused by this very process I'm describing to you. So here we got this system that's really great. And it works terrific, except for one problem. The beings, us, the people, who are using and being involved in the system, subvert it, they make corrupt it, they make it into something that is not what is desired through darkness, through selfishness. Third ray is got so many things wrong with it these days because of people. That I don't have a long enough show. I don't even have enough five shows probably going to all the issues. But I'm going to mention some of them. And then we'll talk about, you know, what we can all do to maybe make some improvements in the situation. And what we have to look forward to and how things are going to move forward. And also the balancing of rays. Because when a ray is gradually removed, a new ray comes into effect. And that's a very important factor. I'll try to explain how that could really be of some help to us in this very, we'll say, stress-producing process, because it accelerates evolution. And for those of you who aren't aware about evolution, studies, mathematical studies, have pretty much proven, because they've been repeated a number of times, although the statistics are there, you can't prove things just by statistics, but as close as we could come to proof, that evolution is going about five times too slow. too fast, excuse me. And it doesn't make any sense. It would be five times too slow if you just left it based upon the statistics of evolution. So something else is accelerating. Guess what it is? Yeah, that's right. And five times is pretty close to the four times that I've been talking about with the four rates. So you can see that that's within the margin of error for our understanding, anyway, to see that, yeah, this kind of makes sense. If evolution is really moving faster, especially human evolution is moving way faster, then the process should. Now, that includes mutations, including from solar flares and cosmic rays, and normal background radiation. It includes a number of population inclines and declines. It includes the effects of famine and other things in natural selection. And then it includes all of the present known issues of the genome of humans, etc. When you put all these things together, evolution should just be going slower than it is. So something isn't right. And it's not a factor of one or two, but when you're up to a factor of four or five, that's a big deal. That means it's something we really don't understand. And what we don't understand is the race. That's the bottom line. If you understand the race, and you understand how they work, which is not that easy to understand, but if you do understand it, then you understand evolution, because you see evolution as a piece, a scientific piece in the puzzle, but one that is imperfect and too mechanical to help grow life the way God forms life to be, which is free and self-created. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so I think before I start going into my whole litany of different different points and thoughts, that what I would like to do is just maybe make mention of a couple of things, and that is I haven't brought up last week's show. I didn't even stop. I just went all right through because we had so much. You know, there was so much to talk about, so little time to do it in. Okay, but I wanted to mention, if you haven't already tried, Phi Chi Jizek. Now, Phi Chi Jizek is spelled PHYQIGESIC. The QI is what throws everybody, because they think it's chi like C-H-I. But the QI is actually a Chinese, Eastern Chinese spelling of the word chi. And chi is a type of energy, sometimes referred to as life energy. It comes from the spiritual plane. It moves into the, literally down to the physical plane where we are. Goes actually through the earth and is converted into this life kind of giving energy that is has to be a movement and has to be balanced in order to keep us healthy and alive. When you stop its movement or slow it down, we get sick. And if it gets real dark and if it's in a lot of forceful positions, it can cause what is known as separation of a major chakra or center, and then we die. And it affects the 370, give or take, or so minor centers that are having tremendous effects all over our body. Those are the centers that acupuncturists use as acupuncture sites, and also used in acupressure. And Phi Chi Jizek works on these same centers to balance the chi energy. Now you say, well, what is it balancing with? Well, it's balancing with itself in other centers, and it's balancing with a thing called prana, which we get from the sun. And so if it isn't in balance, we get ill. And if it isn't in balance, we get pain. Phi Chi Jizek is aiming itself at that issue, the pain. So it's an analgesic, and it reduces pain. But it reduces it by balancing this energy rather than trying to mask or deaden the energies that are sending the pain messages. Now, you might call it nerves, but behind the nerves are etheric, electromagnetic energies. That's why electricity travels through our nerves. And that's the signal that it's trying to balance and to also free up. And it does. And when you use it, is unlike anything else you'll ever try, because if it's going to work on you, and it won't work on everybody, it works on a lot of people, the pain will just go away. But you don't feel drugged, you don't feel deadened in your senses. The senses actually work better. Your senses will improve. What can you take that your senses improve with? I don't know. Even the over-the-counter simple stuff like Tylenol and ibuprofen and sort of stuff, those things still, naproxen sodium, those things still have some deadening effect. At least they do on me, and I don't know if you've tried them. But and they have, they don't last very long, and they're not really solving the problem. They're masking it for a while. But when they wear off, the pain can come back even stronger, because the energies that are sending the signals, they're called devonic energies, that are sending the signals like, hey, things aren't right down here. I got chi energy, but it's stuck. They are more adamant as soon as the numbing effect of the drug that you're taking wears off. Not so if I chi-gesic, it doesn't have that effect. So you don't get that kind of kickback problem. Yeah. Pretty cool. Okay. So you should try it. And you know what? If it doesn't work for you, send it back. Yeah. You get your money back. That's it. You get your money back. Or if you bought it in a store, you go bring it back to the store. You say, hey, this stuff doesn't work for me. You get your money back. There's a number of stores that are selling it now, but you can get it if you want to get it direct. You go to buygesic.com. Simple enough. Buygesic.com. And it'll tell you how to buy it there. You can buy two different sizes. You can buy a small trial size. But if you're serious about using it, you're going to need a bigger one. Because you got to use a lot of this stuff in the beginning and then less and less over time if it's for anything chronic. Or if it's for some really severe problem you got for just one time, you can just take a bunch of it, and it'll go away. And that's it, you're done. But if it's chronic, then you got to use a lot in the beginning, and then gradually reduce it down, 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 down. And so you need a lot to start with, and then less and less and less. And it might take days, weeks, even a month or longer, depending upon how bad the problem has been and how long you've had it for. You know, that's not unusual. Okay, so what phone number, in case you want to call instead of just go to a website or something? You can call area code 602-431-5762, and you can call that number, and then somebody can take your order for 5GGZIC. Also, check out the other things that are related and use the same science of 5G in their expression in your body. So there's other things that are sold, like Ideal Cellsorption Resveratrol, best stuff you can buy for stopping the aging process, and or slowing it down, anyway. And there's Soul Balance, great stuff to take for your immunity system and for healing and helping to heal all kinds of problems in your body. It's great, great, great stuff. Okay. Thought I mention that since we didn't really have a chance to talk about that last week. And there's other things I didn't talk about, but you know what? We'll deal with those things next week. What the heck? I don't have an infinite amount of time to talk about everything, but we'll deal with it. All right. So let's go on now and talk more about the effects on the rays, and especially the third ray, and what we can expect. What are some of the human elements that we are concerned about when I tell you that the third ray is reaching its zenith, but is slowing up in its development, and it's about to turn a corner and significantly reduce itself? Well, banking. All forms of banking seriously affected by the third ray. And you can read about this, by the way, at the beginning of Life's in Meaning. It's explained right in the beginning of the book. And in other parts as well. Also, the third ray affects communication, technology, but not basic science. Basic science falls under the fifth ray, whereas technology These are different things. A lot of people put them together. There's some similarity, and they support each other to some extent. A technology really affects all a civilization, whereas basic science does not. Okay. And then what are the other places that the third ray has a major effect? It affects our the atmosphere of the planet. Because it's, our atmosphere is so dependent upon oxygen as this active ingredient. What else? It affects the literally the physical planet itself. And as I stated earlier, things that include earthquakes and volcanoes and the severity of both at different levels and different times. Not good. Okay. There's an interplay between these things, so I'm going to get to that in a little bit. What else does it affect? Well, it affects the military and police. Anything dealing with force and power directed towards usually other people, that's directly affects those things. Big time. Huge amounts. What else does it affect? Well, it has an effect on all forms of energy. The means and use of energy, the waste of energy, or the conservation of energy, which is kind of like the antithesis of the waste of energy. When it is used selfishly, let's start with energy. Energy is wasted and generally not conserved. So you end up running out of energy, and the cost of energy goes sky high, and the supply of energy in relationship to its use goes down. So its use goes up, but its supply diminishes in relationship to its use. And you have shortages, you have high costs, you have environmental problems, all related to selfish use of the third ray. Sound familiar? Yeah, okay. All right. What about the military issues? Well, the military issues usually are, when it's used to, for the benefit of others, to help them become freer and help them to become freed from evil, and when it fights evil directly, then it's neither wasteful nor is it as damaging to civilization and to humans. But when it's used for political reasons and when it's used for purposes that are not necessarily good and that don't have planning involved and that are wasteful in numerous ways because of selfishness, then it does the reverse. It doesn't bring light. It brings more darkness. It encourages more and more corrupt societies, corrupt governments. It encourages more and more further military action and more destruction of people's rights and will and freedom. Wow. All that because of the way the third ray is functioning. When the third ray is out of focus, the military in general doesn't grow as quickly, isn't used as often, and when it is used, it's used usually at a slower pace, so there is some greater level of judiciousness in its response. But in a period like right now, this is about as bad as it gets. So it's used wantonly and sometimes very incorrectly, with very bad results. Well, we've seen a lot of that in the last few decades, right? Okay, so this is a problem. The solution is to be virtuous, of course, and to have the leaders that are making decisions about any military use to be doing so for non-political, virtuous reasons. Otherwise, you get some really bad outcomes. Okay. Now, that kind of makes sense. I don't think anybody's probably going to argue about that issue, if you're just following and believing what I've told you so far anyway. Okay, then what about banking? How do you correct some of the solution out of the problems of banking? Well, we already have seen what happens when you let banking choose to be selfish and not for the benefit of their customers or the country or anyone, even themselves eventually. So what do you do to solve that problem? Well, the answers are pretty simple, actually. You don't regulate them through a process of, we'll call it, accounting, or making sure that they follow certain steps almost in lockstep. Because if you do that, you stop creativity. You stop the creativity means no growth. Lack of creativity means no growth. And when banking doesn't grow, it doesn't lend. And when it doesn't lend, it doesn't bank. It doesn't exist. Well, it may bank, but it isn't a banking. It's a banker. And it just holds on to the money. So how do you solve that problem? Well, the solution is really not as complicated as it might sound. You need to make the banker and the lender in some way responsive to each other. And you do that by, first of all, breaking up monopolies of super banks, because those institutions become unresponsive to the people they're lending to. And then, in addition to that, you make them more responsive to lenders by having them and the lenders part of the same plan in terms of how the money that they lend is going to be effectuated. And there's a greater level, therefore, of responsibility on the lender's part to the lendee. Lendee? I don't know. Whatever. So you make it so, and that's a completely different system than the one that we're using in the United States right now. There might be a few experimental banks that might be doing something like that. But I suggested this on a show a couple months ago. And really, what you're looking to try to do is not to regulate to the point where you control every action of the lender, but to, we'll say, improve creation by allowing the lender more freedoms in some respect, but also that they have to be involved in the risk side of what they're doing more so. And that gets into this issue of them being a part more as a, we'll say, entrepreneurial aspect, probably a venture capitalist kind of flavor to banking. Not pure venture capitalism, but some combination of the like. And you might call those venture capital banks and make a special license for those kinds of banks that has a totally different system that allows them to do things that other banks can't do, but at the same time they have to take greater responsibility for the loans that they make, and also that they have a means of earning more for some loans and less for others based upon how they are interacting with their customers. And you can listen to the other show I did on this, because I thought I covered it pretty well in that one. I don't want to go too deep into it for here, but the point is that when you are dealing with the third right, the biggest problem is a lack of communication and almost any underlying problem in a relationship. So what happens is the bank or banker and the person who is borrowing, the borrower, are not much in communication in the present system, but in the system I'm suggesting is they're in virtually constant communication, because they recognize they have an interdependent supporting position. The bank wants the business to succeed, and the business wants the bank to support their success with reasonable responses on both parts. Sounds a little hard to believe you can do it in capitalism, but you can't. This is not socialism. The government's not telling the bank what to do, and the bank is not owned or operated by the government, which is more of the truth than not today, in actuality. So banks have to be freer. But it's an interesting solution, and one that I think could, in the long run, solve the problems that we're presently seeing in our banking dilemmas. Right now, banks are not lending. I don't care what you may hear or believe otherwise. If you are a medium to small business, the chances of you getting a loan to do almost anything are virtually zero. Virtually. Now, there's exceptions, but they're rare ones. Okay. Because they don't want to lend money in an economy that isn't growing and where more businesses are failing than succeeding on average than are young and start have new ideas but are more closer to startups than long-held and long-time developed businesses. All right. So, and by the way, as I suggested months ago, capital would become less of an issue in comparison to the way the structure of the loan over time is dealt with. So it won't stay at a constant rate. The rate will change based upon how the loan is being met and how the expectations of the business are improving. Very different kind of thought process about lending. All right, so let's go on to another area that is a significant problem right now, and that is going to get much worse, and that's communication in general. And I'm talking about not just electronic communication. I'm talking about just people talking to each other. Because the throat chakras, I have a sub-sense of hearing it, because when people don't speak in ways that communicate honestly with others, they only hear themselves at the same time. They don't even really hear what other people are saying because they don't care about it. And it produces some very bad effects. We're seeing a lot of that now. How often do you have to call somebody? How often do you have to email them these days? Even get a response if you get any. Part of this lack of response is because people, their throat chakras just aren't working properly, and they're not able to communicate in ways that are meaningful and helpful for themselves or for other people. How do you change that? Well, there's several things I suggest. The first is to use email only to give directions or bits of information. No explanations, no concepts, no dialogues with just yourself, because it's not a dialogue, it's a monologue. And try to avoid that form of communication. Now, could you have like a conversation real time using email? Yeah, but very few people use that method. But if you use that, that's closer to having full expression. It's better to use voice, because voice has inflection that email doesn't. And even better than that is to be able to see the other person. So if you have televised voice communication, it's best. And the best thing is just to be in physical presence of the person, because then you can sense their aura as well. So you've got all these things that are presently missing from a lot of communication out there. And it's causing tremendous misunderstandings and problems in people. And I just tell you that it's not a good thing. That in itself is hurting our society. It may be even worse than the banking problems and some of the other stuff. It's such a basic element of humanity. And we're running into it in such disastrous circumstances that it's causing tremendous upheavals in relationships with people, and the ability to do business with each other, and the ability to just have any kind of relationship with someone else or a group of others. Pretty bad. Email. Get rid of it. What about letters? Well, most people aren't writing letters anymore and sending them off in the mail. I still like communication as verbal because it has so much communication that's improved. And obviously, if you can see the other person, that's always better than not being able to see. So these are the things that are so critical that people are because of the damage to their throat chakras, they don't even realize what they're missing in communication with others, so they're not willing to necessarily put any effort into solving this problem because they don't know it's a problem, yet it's a real big problem. They just know the results, which is, oh, I don't know, I got that all wrong. How come? How come nobody communicating back with me about anything? I don't know, there's all these bad things around me. That's the problem. That's it. Okay, what else? Well, let's talk about it on a more personal level. Close relationships with people are diminishing, which is causing a problem in family structure, especially with children. The adults are able still to carry on communication at some level, but the children and the adults are not. This is causing a further diminishment in the whole society, and children are going wayward way faster. Plus, they're being educated in what I call progressive-style schools, in which history is being rewritten, and they're not hearing the truth about who they are, where they come from, and what they're all about. And they're not being taught anything about ethics, or certainly nothing about God. But the point is that this is not the way school used to be. And so schools have a major problem we need to clear up. But it stems from the breakdown in the family. The schools couldn't have such a hold over children if the family structure wasn't in such a bad way. And it's mostly in communication between adults and children. Now, why is that? Is it because the kids' centers are so selfish or the adult centers? It's kind of a combination. Let me give you the example of the problem, okay? You see, the children's throat chakras are growing faster than the adults. So they become more sensitive to the selfishness of the adults in the environment that they're in, and not just from the adults, but from the other things in their environment, such as games and movies and TV in general, and any other kind of material that has a harsh darkness to it from the crystallization of the third brain in general. But they're absorbing it at 10 times the rate that the adults are, so they become victims of this situation way faster than the adults do. Then the adults get aggravated because the children aren't responsive to them. And instead of understanding the true nature of the problem, which is what I just explained, they become adamant and hostile or brutal, and that none of those things really work. They just make the kids that way. So it causes further breakdown. It's sort of like an escalating, snowballing effect that's very hard to stop. So if you've got this issue going on in your family, then the thing to do is you immediately need to recognize, well, it's coming from the fact that these children are absorbing things 10 times faster than we are, and we're putting out so many negative vibes. There's so much negativity going on in the world today. They're just sponges, sponging it up. So we've got to bring in more virtue into our world. And you do that by fixing the environment the kids are in and by communicating with them very, very often and regularly and admitting to all the things that are selfish in you, so that they can see that you don't walk on water, but you're trying to solve your problems in the process. They then identify that this is a corrective problem that they can change themselves, because that's what their parents are doing, or their siblings. If you're an older sibling, this applies to you as well. So all of this can be solved by recognizing that this is the nature of the beast that we're in right now. It's way worse than it has been at any other time in human development. Remember that. This is as bad as it's going to get. I hope it's as bad as it's going to get, but it's as bad as it's been. And that's bad. We're losing kids left and right. And it's a terrible thing, because they're really the future. Now, I also suggest that you enter into a spiritual relationship in your family. Now, for the people who are agnostic or atheistic, this may be rejected, and that's okay. Then think of it more as humanitarianism at this point. Although I really believe that if you're going to get down to the bottom of the problem, you've got to deal with it from God. and not from, well, this is just an ethical thing to do, it's the right way to live. Right based upon who? Parents? Governments? Educators? Some great thinker? Some book you read? No. It needs to come from spirits. There needs to be a spiritual foundation for long-lasting and strong solving of these issues by having a foundation that people can rely on. The reason this is so important is because the fortitude of children grows immensely when they have a spiritual foundation. When they don't, it grows in a shaky way, and any kind of serious bump along the way, any catastrophe that they may be facing coming on because of this change in their age that's happening, they may fall off and turn very selfish or very afraid or become victimized by evil or destroyed altogether. This is the legacy you're leaving them without a spiritual foundation. And, you know, if you're an atheist or an agnostic and you don't believe me, why don't you try spiritual life for like 60 days? Just check it out. Don't necessarily join a religion. Just try to find God and learn about God and think about God and see if you can find God in the world around you. Because that's the way you find God. God is everywhere. That would be helpful. And if you can bring yourself to do that, you'll help your kids immensely. Kids that are brought up without a spiritual foundation invariably have a very rocky older childhood and usually turn out to be some level of personality disordered adults. That's a terrible thing. You don't want that. That's not a good place to be. Okay. So let's move on to the next area. If we want to make some improvements in the way we're dealing with other countries especially and in the way we deal with our military, we need to be facing the fact that there is evil. Because if you can't see evil, then what the heck are you using your military for? You know, I've heard some people in the present administration claim there's no such thing as evil. Absolutely. Well, then I guess you don't need a military, right? Because those folks just need they just need some re-education or something over there, wherever they're killing people and blowing people up or whatever they're doing, or subjecting millions to starvation and torture and everything else. But if you can see evil, even part of it, that's a long way towards understanding when and where it's appropriate to use force. Force should not be used against goodness, nor should it be used against people who are confused, ill, or in some way incapacitated. You use force against evil because evil itself is a forceful element. It doesn't respond to having some kind of debate or lecture or cajoling or expression of concern or what. It doesn't respond to any of those things other than to take more, like a shark feeding. And that's why you have a military system. That's why you have to have a security system in place that recognizes what evil is and why it's doing what it's doing and what it's trying to do to you and others. And right now, the Third Ray has got a lot of people, I guess, thinking that it's going, you know, because they're selfish, that there's no such thing as evil. And in addition, our military should only be used, I guess, to build a little bases around various parts of the United States to protect us from what, I'm not sure. Because that's like an old idea from 300 years ago. It won't work anymore. If it worked then, in the first place. So, I mean, this kind of isolationism isn't a solution, but at the same time, I do not suggest that we attempt to support countries that have evil at the base of their governments or military themselves. That's crazy. And we seem to want to do that, and I'm not sure exactly why. I mean, if you really think a country is evil, including their government. Well, go over and go. If you if you find that that's a threat to the world, including yourself, you go in and take out the government as well as the bad dudes. You don't leave the government in and say, well, we got to have a government here, even though they're all full of evil people. And they got to sell as many drugs as they want, and they can do all these other bad things because they're nice to have. We call them a government. Yeah, they got elected because they rigged the election, or they forced other people to vote a certain way, or whatever, or they bought them off, or whatever. Now, I mean, this is craziness. To me, it is, anyway. I mean, you've got to look evil right in the face. You got to know where it is, and what you're going to do about it before you start sending troops over and say, "Well, we're going to fight. We're going to fight these guys, but the other people that we're fighting for are just as bad." That doesn't make any sense. Take out all the bad guys, and remove evil by force, and use the same force to allow the indigenous people who are not evil to build up their relationship with their lower self and eventually their soul, so they become self-reliant and self-creative in their lives and educated to some extent. If you're going to do anything, that's the only way to do it if you're dealing with evil. And you're not going to get any if you allow governments to be creating all kinds of illegal businesses, and including drug things and stuff. It makes no sense because you're not fighting for anything. There's no spiritual issue in the communication. And remember, this is the whole point. The third rate is about what you're communicating to others. How can you communicate anything to people when you're shooting supposedly their enemies who want to hurt them, but you're allowing others to run their lives and to destroy them because they're corrupt and criminals and evil themselves? Makes no sense. No one saw it. Now, I know that that's kind of radical, and it's not necessarily what anybody that I know of really says about these issues. Either people want to get in, they want to get out, whatever. They have an absolute kind of thought about it. They don't look at the real bottom line of what's happening. And we've got to have a bottom line. We've got to have a real understanding of what we're doing. Because the use of military force has many ramifications. And you've got to make sure that you're on the right side. If you're on the wrong side, you're going to pay dearly. And the other thing is in the political arena, the third way has caused politicians to become pragmatists about keeping their power and staying elected, because the third rate's all about power. And instead of about being of service to others, it's about being in control of others. It's a terrible thing. The present administration in the United States is more like that than any administration in my lifetime has been. So, I mean, it's a terrible thing, because it completely corrupts the entire idea of government. And the choice then is to make government bigger, because that's how they get their power. But these are people who are crippled. They need this exterior power to believe and to feel important and like they are alive. They're so actually afraid of death. That's the only way they can keep themselves going. And I'm talking about all of them. So, I mean, it's a scary thing. Now, it's true that some people in the parties, you know, the Republicans which are out of office in the United States, and this is true in other countries as well, sometimes it's permeated the whole system. The best way to solve this problem, especially if you like the United States, is to vote them out and to get people in who don't want to be in for power and control, but want to truly serve. Now, what is true service? How do you know when someone is truly serving you? Well, someone that's truly serving you is helping you to grow and helping you to be self-reliant, to be more free, and be self-creative. They're not trying to hook you onto welfare systems or, you know, medical systems or anything that reduces your freedom. And they're not trying to force you to do anything. I don't care if it's not eat potato chips or if it is to eat, you know, apples. It's to give you the choices and never to take them away. When government limits freedom, government is dark. When government controls freedom, government is evil. We are right between that denominator right now. We're right between control and limits. And we're moving towards complete control. That's a dictatorship. It may be a soft dictatorship. The person might have been quote-unquote elected, but the system was rigged by various means behind the scenes. Once it gets going, you can't get rid of it very easily. And it usually marks the end of a country. Not an end that's soon. Usually it's later. But an end to the country as it was. So if we're going to respond to the third wave properly, we've got to be very careful about the use of power. Power is a very, very sickening thing when it's used wrong. But it's an amazing gift, when it's used correctly. And so that's where the third wave shines. And we need to be doing all these things I'm suggesting right now because people are getting more and more crystallized. It's going to be very hard to change these patterns. From here on in. We've had a lot of chances in the last number of years, and we haven't been doing too good. So our chances are dwindling, and we need to be taking action now rather than later, or else we're going to be fried and in bad shape. What else do we need to be looking at? Conservation. This is such a big deal. Conservation cannot be legislated. Cannot be forced upon people. In order for people to conserve, they have to be creative in their own environment and in their own life. If you try to regimentate it, it's not conservation. What it is a form of dictatorship which reduces the efficiency of people's lives and over time wastes huge amounts of huge amounts. Now, I'm very much in favor of diode lights and CFLs, fluorescent lights. I think they do save a lot of energy. But to tell people, well, you can't use incandescent lights anymore because they use too much energy, is contrary to the concept in conservation. Because every time something is forced on someone, without them being able to figure it out for themselves and grow from their own experience and learn and realize that in some circumstances, maybe even incandescent light is better for something. But whatever, give them all those opportunities, then you end up with a population that becomes dumbed down in consciousness and lowered to the point where they will waste more than they'll gain in the process. Oh, they might put a few CFLs in and some diode lights, but they're not going to come up with new innovative ways of restructuring their houses, their cars, etc., so that they save huge amounts of energy and they don't waste. Or maybe their lifestyle. You know, those folks might change their lifestyle if they really think about it. Maybe they will make less trips and plan things out more clearly so that they don't waste as much fuel going to and from here and there, etc. And maybe they'll carpool more. That's not an easy thing to do, but maybe they will. Or maybe they'll take some alternate transportation, which may or may not save fuel or energy. But I think the important issue here is that freedom is God's way. If you don't believe in God, then we're all in trouble because you don't believe in freedom. And that's where the problem lies. It is a big problem. So, yes, you know out there that I'm a conservationist. No question about that. But a conservationist who does, not who dictates to others to do. Conservationist who educates and suggests and helps others, if they want, to come up with solutions for themselves. You see, this is the way it needs to be for everything. Education rather than dictation. Less government and more power for the people rather than power for the government. Yep. That's what it's supposed to be, because that's what our Constitution was designed for. Limited government with the people in charge. Okay. How do we deal with the third rate and making this part much worse? Well, the first thing is to get people to start becoming more and more self-reliant and more realizing that they have the control if they choose to take it. They have the power if they choose to use it. If they abdicate it, then bad things will happen. And that's what really needs to be said. I don't hear it being said by virtually anybody except some people like me. But people in power need to be saying this and living it. And how many of those are doing it? I don't hear it very much among, like, the candidates presently running for office or whatever. It needs to be out there, truly part of people's way of life, rather than some platitude. Well, I believe in the Constitution and I support it. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. But understanding that the third rate causes abuses of power, that makes a big difference. Then you're starting to realize where the real issues lie and how to start solving them and what to do about it, right? Because next year is going to be worse than this year. I can almost guarantee it. And I don't want to even think about past next year if things really go bad. That doesn't mean it's the end of the world. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. It may be the end of our world. The world that we all wanted to have and thought we were trying to build towards. But the world itself will go on. And humanity will go on. But maybe as slaves to their own selfishness. Because the third way will bring about that faster than anything else, and especially on Earth than any place else. Because the Earth is along the third way. The Earth is a very selfish and dark place to begin with. And now, we've got this critical time upon us. So if I sound like I'm a broken record, that's why. I'm worried. I'm really worried. I'm doing my thing. The people around me are doing their thing. We are fighting in a number of ways, which you'll hear more about maybe in a few weeks. But the thing is that everybody needs to get in. Because this is too big. Everybody's got to get involved and do what they can. Everybody who can and chooses to and understands something of what I'm saying. Because this is the battle that we're in right now. Where are some of the other areas of the third rank? Well, if you haven't already realized it, technology has become a replacement for most people's activities list. I mean, almost everything we're doing involves some form of relatively advanced technology. Now, is that a bad thing? Not necessarily. It's just that the problem is technology is supposed to be helping us to serve others. It's supposed to be a tool to build our civilization so it becomes more and more enlightened. When it makes us more shallow, more selfish, less communicative, more isolated, more debased, especially if you're into some kind of, you know, pornographic extravaganza, or some other, more even strange things. Those kinds of technologies and those kinds of obsessions in them produce some of the most, we'll call, consciousness-lowering effects you can get. Technology has also produced new kinds of drugs and new ways of using drugs. It's produced a tremendous amount of, we'll say, wasteful activities. What is a wasteful activity? Well, a wasteful activity is any activity in which the outcome of the activity does not lead to any benefits in consciousness, to either person doing it or to anyone else who is involved around it. Those kinds of things produce more negative effects. How is it that when can you use technology in good ways? Well, it isn't the technology that's to blame. It's the way we are using it. And that is that we should be applying all the things that we have that are technological and all the future developments coming in technology towards making improvements for all of humanity. Easier said than done, I realize, but you can start with your next-door neighbors if you want. It can be at least focused out to some extent on others. The technology of food production, what's wrong with it, what's right with it? Well, what's right with it is that we've learned a lot about the chemistry of soil and air and water and so on, and fertilizers. But what we haven't learned is that you don't want to monkey around with genes making certain types of hybrids that are only made so that they'll drive people to only use a certain kind of seed in genetic rather than anything else. And they produce hormones that are toxic to both maybe the plant, but more likely human beings consuming and the animals consuming the plants. And if you eat meat, then the human beings eat the animals. So this is where the problem is. And we have not addressed this problem. We have instead chosen to ignore it. That form of technology is dangerous because we all eat. And if most of the food we eat is genetically modified, and if it has dangers to our systems in it, some of us responding very badly to it, that's a hidden form of all kinds of diseases that we don't even understand. Yeah. You know, it could be the basis of some of the diseases that are growing 10 times, 100 times faster than the population, like Alzheimer's or, well, autism. Dangerous things. Something's causing these things, right? So, those are the concerns. Now, I do suggest for all of you out there, if you can afford it and if you can find it, eat as much organic food as possible. Organically grown food, grown from non-genetically altered seeds, is better for you than not. Are all genetically altered seeds bad? No. Just the ones that involve certain levels of high protein content. That's where the real danger lies. Soy is particularly dangerous. Sugars, it's very hard to make the argument that genetically altered sugars have an effect on us because the way the genes are modified is through proteins, and if the food itself doesn't provide any protein source, then that gene can't affect us, at least as best as science understands it today. But unfortunately, the foods with the highest protein, like soybeans, can be serious problems if those are genetically altered. So try to not eat soy that is genetically altered, if possible. The fact of the matter is, I eat a lot of soy. Some of it may be genetically altered. So that's the problem. We don't know all the things. Some of it says non-GMO and all this stuff. But you don't know. You know, maybe a seed floated in, you don't know. That's the one you ate. But this is the problem, that with the third ray so out of virtue, but in so strong, the communication is oftentimes faulty, and you don't know what you're eating anymore. Sometimes it's deliberately so. Sometimes it's not so deliberately. Let's talk about that. Communication that involves propaganda and people deliberately trying to lie about and be selfish about the area that they're concerned about to gain control and power over, be it politics, sale of certain things, any kind of business venture, whatever. Those kinds of things, illegal stuff. Oh, I've seen a lot of that. These things, if you're seeing that, the best way to deal with that is to promote the truth. And promote the truth at almost any cost. Because when truth is lost, so is civilization eventually, and so is a planet. Especially when humans are running the show as we are on Earth right now. So, from now on, if we don't work on getting the truth out there and others promoting it, we end up with the risk of losing the whole world. And the way that would happen is that the propaganda becomes a tool for evil. The evil then takes over country after country. And eventually, the whole country, the whole world, becomes just countries of various levels of evil governments and dictatorships and corruption in businesses, special interests running everything, and the rich usually being the same people who are running the countries, and all the rest of us are the poor slaves. So it really leads to slavery in one way or another, depending upon how you want to look at it. Remember, communism and most forms of socialism are slavery. So think about that in terms of how it's going to change the world you see, and do your best to promote the truth. Join groups who focus on finding the truth and promoting it to others. Let everybody know what you find to be untruthful as soon as you know it, so that others can gain from your wisdom. And to check it out, make sure that you're not wrong as well. So the point is that this is a situation in which we have desperate needs to get truth, because truth is vanishing on a daily basis. We're living in an untruthful world rather than a truthful one. Now, you could say, well, wasn't that true before? Yes, there's always been the desire on the part of people in control to lie. But now what's happened is the lies have become accepted as truth. Whereas in the past, the lies were accepted as manipulations and control. Big difference. Once people can no longer determine the truth for themselves, we're really in trouble. And we're moving in that direction because children are so uneducated and they are so unspiritually founded. They can't find the truth. Without a spiritual foundation, the truth escapes you, because truth is one of the virtues. It's part of the light of God of mind. And if you don't believe in God, it's hard to keep God in your mind. And hard to keep, therefore, truth in your mind and to find it in others or elsewhere. So truth is a big deal. The third ray right now is probably the most destroyer of truth because of the crystallization effect than anything else that's presently taking place. And it's also the most dangerous thing that we can have happen. I know all the things I talked about, there's so much I haven't gotten to, seem like terrible and scary things, but right now it's the truth that is the most important element to become part of our life. Read, listen to people who you think are speaking the truth, and think, and try to deduce truth from logic and concepts, not from a bunch of examples which may or may not be correct. An example of one thing may not be the truth. It may just be a coincidence or a specific circumstance that may not replicate itself. Truth is something that's universal and can be applied conceptually to many, 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 many things. That's why it's so wonderful. Truth should be given to others in a thing called love wisdom. Because when you have a lot of truth, you have a lot of wisdom, but you can't keep that wisdom or use it effectively in yourself or for anyone else until you freely give it to others, and especially help others who you think are in need of having truth in their life, even if it's going to cost you something. It's worth it. It's worth it if you lose a lot, even your life. If there are big truths that are being destroyed in the world around you, then do what you have to do, no matter what it takes, to make sure that the truth gets out. Very important. I would say that's number one on my list, although I didn't start with that. I'm certainly ending with that. Hopefully tonight has given you some ideas about how to deal with the crystallization of the third ray when it's being used so selfishly. Remember, it isn't the third ray that's the problem. It's the use by human beings who are selfish that is. And it's reaching this zenith level. And it evolutionarily is changing us very quickly, especially our children. So I hope this has made some sense to you all. And maybe, in the not-too-distant future, we can have a show on how this all turned out to the betterment, and that we really ended up with a better civilization because we turned around all this. True at the last minute, maybe, or the last hour. But we did it anyway. We still have a little time left. It isn't a lot. Now, after next year, I've already gone into some of the bad things that could start happening. I didn't want to get back into that stuff in this show. You can go to the earlier shows and listen to what a bad future might be like. I didn't want to get into any of that tonight. That isn't what the purpose of tonight's show was. Hopefully, today you now know what the metaphysics of the third ray is, and how come we can change and make it better for all of us. Well, until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.